remain standing this morning for the reading of God's Word. Our reading is going to be found in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples that we have from the early church that we might faithfully serve you. May we learn those lessons well this morning as your Spirit guides us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, as you can see from my sermon title, I have chosen to speak about deacons this month, and it's appropriate because our members will be asked to vote on having Igor Avanto be our next deacon here at Church of the King next week. With that in mind, I want to address 3 things. I want us to consider what a deacon is. We should consider the importance of the work of deacons, and finally, the qualifications of a deacon, with some implications for all of us. The first point is pretty simple. The term deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos, and it means servant or minister. We find that word used almost 30 times in the New Testament, and it designates an appointed member of the local church who assists by serving members and meeting material needs. It is one of the 2 offices that are clearly outlined in the New Testament. We see them both in the New Testament pastoral epistles, and it's why we are considered a 2-office church, though some will argue that you could have other offices. Now, the appointment of the first deacons is found in our text from chapter 6, and it leads quite naturally into the importance of their work. The church at Jerusalem was a growing church. It was working together and solving problems, being a great witness to Jerusalem as they were commanded by Jesus. Then in chapter 6, we come to a problem that developed in the church in Jerusalem. Yes, a problem in the church. Imagine that. Here we have the Spirit-filled church performing miracles, witnessing in Jerusalem, growing like crazy, being of one accord, meeting the needs of the saints, and Luke presents a problem. It reminds me of the wise counsel often given to those who struggle to find a good church home. If you find a perfect church, please don't join it, because it would no longer be perfect. So why does the church have problems? Well, it's full of sinners. Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. Mission accomplished on the cross and confirmed in the power of his resurrection. The Holy Spirit has come in power as the comforter for the church, with a plan to fill the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. And yes, he does so with forgiven sinners. So Luke honestly presents a problem that has risen in the early church. You see, the Bible is not a fairy book tale about new life in Jesus. The Bible is a very honest account of the ravages that sin has brought into God's creation and his story of redemption and restoration. So what was the problem in this early church? It was not something that would surprise us even today. Some people were playing favorites, and others were taking offense. We're not actually given enough detail to know how the blame for this problem should be apportioned, but Luke is clear that it was a real problem, a problem not unlike many that we could face today with different groups when they come together. The rich and the poor, James had a lot to say about that. Different racial groups, which is obviously talked much about today. Young and old. Old people never understand what's going on, right? Even men and women. We don't get along sometimes. And dare I bring politics into it. The apostles see this problem as a real problem, and they move to present a solid solution. The important lesson to remember is that it is much better to find a solution and move forward than to simply focus on who is to blame. The apostles also find a solution that avoids creating bigger problems. It might well have been easier for those men to have just jumped in and fixed the problem. But that would divert them, as they pointed out, from the work they had been called to do. And this is an important point, it would have meant that those faithful men who were chosen to be deacons would have been denied their opportunity to serve in the church. Parents and employers should understand this principle. You must let employees or children learn and even fail a bit so that they can become competent in doing the tasks that they are called to do in life. When a mother trains a child to wash the dishes or do the laundry, that process takes more time than if she just did it herself, right? First time you have the kids wash the dishes with you, they make a mess, they drop a dish, they break something. It's not easy. But if you continue to do everything yourself in a growing family or a growing business, then you will be far too busy and not do any of your tasks well in time. On the other hand, given time, the children will learn to do these tasks, and you will have more time for other important duties that you have as a parent. And the same can be seen for employers, and it is certainly true here at the church. So the apostles tell them to select out 7 men to serve the church. Now, obviously, this does not mean that every church should have 7 deacons. But rather, I think the lesson is that we need to have enough deacons and men serving to meet all the needs of a particular church. And I think Roger would agree that our church is more than one. The process that the apostles lay out is the reason we select church leaders in a similar way today. Those who are qualified and show themselves willing to serve are brought before the congregation for their approval. Then they are commissioned and blessed for the work by the laying on of hands, as we will do with Igor if he receives your support and approval next week. This is a very important responsibility for our members, and it should not be taken lightly. Remember, it is our faithful service, day by day, in whatever role God has cast us in, that moves the kingdom of God forward. Now, before I move to qualifications, I think I should also point out that deacons are not expected to do all the work in the church. And having an office of deacon does not mean that we do not appreciate the work that gets done by all the members and friends here at Church of the King. It would take far too long to acknowledge everyone, but we should occasionally give thanks for this work and appreciate it. Work like Mr. Pekarik there in the back of the room, who takes care of our sound system and has posted something over 1,000 sermons on sermon audio for us and the world to enjoy. I would not want to even begin to estimate how many square miles of carpet that Tony has vacuumed in the last couple of years. And Abby, by my estimation, has washed close to 8,000 wine glasses in the past few years. And of course, moving from a sanctuary setup like we have this morning to a lunch format doesn't happen by magic. So we should appreciate all of those strong arms and legs each week, and of course help if they are shorthanded. Now, I know the men are really excited today about serving the women today's lunch, and the children will serve moms again on Mother's Day, two special times. But lest we forget, those same women are going to feed us and clean up the other 50 Sundays of the year. So let's be appreciative. And of course, we kind of take it for granted that we have this nice facility. The James family always has it set up for us. They always take care of things. The book table looks much neater when it's done by her than if I do it. So these are all little things and many, many more that happen. The point is that there's a lot of work involved, and that is why we have the office of deacon, to help and to coordinate and to make sure that work is being done. So finally, we come to the qualifications that the apostles told the saints to look for in these men. They said to look for men who were of a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. Now, remembering that these same qualities are important for all of our lives if we would serve Jesus faithfully. First, they were to have a good reputation. This is certainly not our modern concept of being famous like Tom Brady or Joe Rogan. That's your Super Bowl Sunday football reference, just so you know. Having a good reputation means living a life that conforms to the commandments of God. This can be quite a challenge in our modern age, where we are constantly told to do our own thing or to be yourself, caring little about what others think, no less God himself. We, on the other hand, are to care about what others think, and we are to do so humbly and through service. Our reputation should not be based on bad things we have done or how popular we can be in the eyes of others. A good reputation that is pleasing to the Lord is one born out of humble service to others. We should long to hear those precious words from our Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So the next qualification the apostles asked for might give us some pause. They were to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, is this a charismatic type of thing? I don't think so. You know, but it can cause some discussions because people, especially in the charismatic world, will say, well, of course, the Spirit fell on everyone at Pentecost and we need to have some sort of continuing experience like that. Luke did tell us that the saints were filled with the Spirit at Pentecost. That's when the promised Comforter was given to the church, and he will not forsake us. But here is the danger in proof texting. That same book of Acts has Luke telling us that Peter was filled with the Spirit as he spoke before the council, and that the saints were filled with the Spirit as they prayed. Later, Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, but is also seen being filled with the Spirit later in his ministry. the filling has to do with who or what is controlling our lives at any one particular time. Again, in Acts, Luke tells us that Satan had filled the heart of Ananias. Luke tells us that religious leaders who were filled with indignation. And later in Acts, we find Jews filled with envy and the Gentiles at Ephesus filled with confusion. The apostles were looking for men who were living lives that were influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this applies to us as well. We spent a good deal of time on this passage from Ephesians where Paul stresses this. He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." If you allow your life to be filled with things and thoughts of the world, the flesh, and the devil, it will bring forth the same dissipation that can so obviously be seen in a drunkard. When I was young, you had to actually search out the skid rows to be able to show your children the problems that people can fall into when they do that. Sadly, now you can find them in just about any neighborhood. But the lesson is still there for our children. They should see those things not only from a point of compassion to try to help, but also as a life lesson to remember that there but for the grace of God go we. If we redeem the time, on the other hand, we will be wise and ready to confront the evils of our day. If we do not, then we are part of the problem and not part of the solution, which Paul says grieves the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is that everyone in the Bible has the focus of faithful service. And if they have that, it is grounded in the knowledge of God and followed by faithful actions, which result from following His commands. "If you love me, keep my commandments," Jesus told His disciples. You can't love someone you do not know, and you cannot love someone who has authority over you if you do not obey them. So what does it mean then to be wise? It means to know God's will and to do God's will. The Christian life is really that simple. We often make things much more complicated than they need to be. If a child is having trouble at home, the Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother." In the flesh, we want to say, "Well, you don't know my parents," or "How can that help my situation?" And I'm sure the little ones that go back and forth learning how to sit still and worship think, "That's not the way life should go. I should be able to do what I want." And that's the beginnings of teaching them that they're not in charge. Being spirit-filled and wise means believing God when He says that this is the first commandment with promise, and doing what it says. If we have couples that are struggling in their relationship, or even young people struggling with life, they should follow the priorities given in the Scriptures. With marriages, a husband is to love his wife, and the wife is to submit to her own husband. But we know what you read if you go on the internet. "I tried loving her. She still didn't do what I wanted." Or, "How can I submit to a man who is so stupid?" Those are the reactions that we see, sadly, rather than just simple obedience. If we are Christians who want to be wise and filled with the Spirit and have a good reputation, then we need to get serious about these commands, because your primary witness to Jesus and to the world is your obedience. Jesus actually said that the world has a right to reject Jesus if they see disobedience in our lives. That's a sobering, sobering thought. So we could go on to talk about how we educate our children, how we run our businesses or our relationship with our employer, and how we relate to others, and even how we deal with the evil magistrates. And it's going to come down to the same principles in each area. Love God and love your neighbor. That's the fulfillment of the law, Paul said. We can go back for this wisdom to the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses instructs the people as they enter the land. We could go, obviously, to the book of Proverbs, where Solomon instructs his son. We can study the teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, or turn to the epistles given to instruct the church. And the message is always the same. Know God and follow His commandments. Do these simple things, and you will be greatly blessed as you rightly serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fail to do these things, and you will bring the curses of the covenant down upon your head. Moses said to the people, "See, I set before you today life and good, death and evil." Seems like a pretty easy choice, but in our flesh, we resist this wisdom, sometimes with all our might. Here at Church of the King, I trust that our desire will always be to be wise, Spirit-filled, with a good reputation. And of course, it is incumbent upon us as your leaders to set a good example in all of those areas. Deacon Walker and your elders have done our due diligence to evaluate Igor Avanto and his family, and thus we are bringing him before the congregation next week for your approval as a future leader here at the church. Please keep this entire process in your prayers. And Lord willing, if we do ordain and install Igor as our next deacon, we can all benefit from and enjoy his service to us for many years to come. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of the church. And Lord, as we think about the responsibilities and qualifications of leaders, it convicts us that all of these things apply to all of our lives. Help us to faithfully serve you and to learn more and more as we mature each day and each week and each year to serve your kingdom. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let us rise and respond with a hymn of God Moves in a Mysterious Way.